in complete dependence upon the Lord and seeking your very prayerful attention, I would ask you to turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The apostle, writing to the Corinthians, said this. He used much plainness of speech. And as a faithful servant of God, he was enabled by the Holy Spirit to declare the whole counsel of God, whether men would hear or whether they would forbear. How faithful he was to the charge that he received from God to declare the gospel, and what powerful effect the word had in the hearts of many under his ministry. How needful it is that the same influence of the Holy Spirit should be felt in the truth of God in our day. For in the day in which we live, it is very sad and very solemn that there is a great withholding of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I trust it is the anxiety of each of our hearts that the Holy Spirit would return. Because the words that particularly I trust have rested upon me are these. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How many of us often feel ourselves to be in a captive condition. We feel to be in a prison, and we cannot release ourselves from that. There is only one that can come and release us from our bondage. But what a mercy it is if you and I are anxious because we feel ourselves to be shut up. We long to feel that liberty which is spoken of here under the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit revealing Christ and his finished work to our hearts, and giving us to realise not only that he shed his precious blood, but to be able to say humbly, it was for me. We must know salvation if we are to get to heaven. And a notional believing of the truth is not a saving factor. It must be by divine revelation. And how solemn the words are that the apostle recorded in this part of the scripture as he spoke of the blindness and ignorance that was in the hearts of Israel of old. And it may surprise us when we are brought to realise that even when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth and preached the gospel with such power and such authority in the perfection of his own ministry, that it only affected the hearts of a few. Because we read in the scriptures that many followed him for the things that he provided for them, such as the food they had. Many followed him because they were interested in the miracles that he performed. There were a few that followed him because they were brought to love the truth. They were brought to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him was the hope of their salvation. What a mercy it is, therefore, if you and I are not left in the ignorance that we're born in, not in this darkness that is spoken of here in these words, because it speaks very plainly concerning the gospel being hid to many. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And I hope it is a concern to each of us as to whether we really believe the gospel. We are acquainted with it because it is preached and because we read it in the scriptures. But we need the application of those truths to our poor hearts that we might receive the truth of them and in faith embrace those truths and rest in the certainty and completeness of them. There is only one power that can bring you and me into the knowledge of the truth. And as I've noticed, that it may surprise us that there were so many about the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on this earth that never received the truth in their hearts. They may have admired it, but they did not know the power of it. But when we're brought to realise the reality of our own condition, there is an explanation, there is some light given. Because if you and I know anything of our state as a fallen sinner, the blindness and ignorance of our heart by nature, we should realise that unless the Holy Ghost work in our hearts with almighty power, we shall remain in the darkness and death in which we're born. And so it is a wonderful mercy if you and I have some understanding given to us by the enlightening power of the Holy Spirit, that we are by nature dark, and we are by nature ignorant, and that we cannot attain to any knowledge ourselves. It must be by the power of the Holy Ghost. The veil was upon the hearts of the Israelites of old. And that veil of ignorance is upon you and me by nature. But it's a wonderful thing if you and I have been brought to realise there is a veil upon our hearts. Because those that are in the death that they're born in, that are never brought to a knowledge of themselves, will never know the solemn state they're in. They're left to be satisfied in their ignorance, in their darkness. But it's a mercy if it can be said of you and of me, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And we find the description of our heart set forth in that beautiful chapter in the Epistle of the Ephesians. But my dear friends, what a point is it we have before us. The word of truth tells us very clearly that there is only salvation made known in Christ. He is the salvation of his people, and he is made known in their hearts by the preaching of the gospel. Many of Israel of old trusted in the law, and the apostle speaks very clearly here that the law is the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones. Although it was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. If that is glorious, how much more is the glorious is the gospel? It excelleth in glory. And it excelleth in glory because it tells us what has been done for poor sinners. It tells us who this glorious Saviour is that came down from heaven to save his people. And the gospel is applied to the hearts of those that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved with an everlasting salvation by the Spirit of God. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And what a powerful work it is. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke like this. He said, "That which is of the flesh is flesh. And that which is of the Spirit is Spirit." He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. And if the Lord speaks unto you and to me, we shall know the power of that word in our hearts. It will unveil to us the ignorance and darkness of our mind and show us our need of salvation." And what a blessing it is if we have that need felt within. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. That salvation that you and I humbly trust, are seeking after, is that salvation which was wrought out by Christ Jesus. It was purposed in the counsels of Jehovah. The truths that we are conversant with, the Holy Spirit is pleased to make known to our hearts, so that not only do we understand in a natural way that the Father has chosen a people unto eternal life, and that he gave that people to his beloved Son to redeem, and Jesus betrothed them unto himself in love, undertaking for them, but the Holy Ghost will reveal to us the truth. It will be a great exercise to us as to whether we are among the elect, whether we are among that people loved with an everlasting love, And you will want to know the evidence of that. Well, the evidence is clearly set forth in the scriptures. If you and I are chosen unto eternal life, the Holy Ghost will begin a work of grace in our heart. And he will make that clearly known to us by his power, bringing us to know, as I've hinted, the darkness and ignorance and foolishness of our hearts, and make us feel the guilt of our sin. And we should be brought to own that if our souls were condemned to eternal misery, it would be just. These things are known and felt in the heart. They're not theoretical suggestions or just passing thoughts. These are realities which the Holy Ghost makes known. And poor sinners are brought down from their loftiness and pride under a sense of the awfulness of their transgressions. They've sinned against a righteous and holy God. And they can do nothing to justify themselves. The apostle speaks here about that creature righteousness. We cannot be justified by the law. We cannot be justified by any works of the flesh. We are only justified if the Lord Jesus Christ has wrought for us a righteousness, because it is in his righteousness that the church is justified. It will be a concern to you to know where you stand in these vital matters. And what an exercise it is that Christ should be made known to us. The Holy Spirit will show us the truth. There is salvation in none other but in him. And as you're brought to know that as a reality, you'll be brought by the Holy Spirit to seek after a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how beautifully the gospel sets forth the work of the Saviour. And it is the application of the truth of it to my poor soul which makes us believe in him, to trust in him. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must believe that he saves his people with an everlasting salvation. And you and I cannot attain to this knowledge ourselves. We cannot work it out by our own intellectual power. The Holy Spirit must reveal these things to us. And there'll be no peace in your heart and no assurance of faith in your heart until you're brought to know Jesus Christ personally and savingly revealed to you, and he has formed in your heart the hope of your salvation. So how dependent we are upon the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And he will testify, the dear Holy Spirit will testify to us of those things that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And as he testifies to us of what he has accomplished, he makes application to our poor souls of those things that he is pleased to reveal. And we should be brought to understand the substance of what the dear apostle was enabled to declare, that it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came down into this world to save sinners, he said, of whom I'm the chief. And if you and I have the testimony of that in our hearts, we shall not be left just to feel the power of that world, but we'll be shown how it was that the Lord Jesus Christ saves our poor souls from hell. You see, we shall be shown clearly what we deserve. We shall realise that we deserve to bear the punishment of our sins eternally. That we deserve to sink into hell. That we deserve to bear the wrath of God in our souls eternally. And that we cannot merit anything else but that. But you see, this is where the grace of God is manifested. This is where that great salvation is so blessedly declared. The Lord Jesus Christ came to rescue from their sins his people. He came to save them from all the just deserts of their transgressions. And that he might do that he might satisfy all the demands of the law and the claims of justice, he took into union with his divine nature a sinless humanity. He assumed a sinless humanity like yours and mine, body and soul. A holy, harmless, sinless Saviour came to rescue his people. But what a great mystery it is to natural men. This is what they can't receive. This is what they can't understand. How by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, his people are saved. But you see, the Holy Spirit will reveal this to us. We should be brought to see that he came as the sin bearer. He came as the surety of the covenant of grace. It entered into that covenant obligation ere time began. And he came to fulfill all that he'd undertaken to do. And the word is summarized beautifully by the apostle. The Father laid upon him our transgressions, and the apostle declared this, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Lord Jesus Christ came as the sinner's substitute. And all the sins of the election of grace, the magnitude, the innumerable number of these sins, were all laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of truth is clear in this respect. The Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all. It pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief and to make his soul an offering for sin. That offering must be made. Justice must be satisfied. The law must be honoured and obeyed. And the Lord Jesus Christ undertook this complete work. He poured out his soul unto death. He offered himself as a lamb without spot unto God. He offered his humanity upon the altar of his divine nature. And that is why the sacrifice of Christ is so full of virtue and satisfaction. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was accepted. The Father has pardoned all his dear people because the precious blood of Jesus Christ has made atonement for their sin. They stand justified in their dear Redeemer because of the obedience and sacrifice, a perfect life led, a vicarious sacrifice offered. What a beautiful truth it is. These things are made known in the hearts with power. And we're brought to believe in them. Now the Lord is that Spirit revealing these truths to us. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, rose from the grave. He rose on that glorious day, justified from all the sins of his people. And they rose because of their mystical union with him, justified in him. So therefore, the way to heaven is open. Their sins are put away, atonement has been made, and they stand justified in that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're delivered from hell, from sin and death. A ransom has been paid so that they will never perish. The precious blood of Jesus Christ has been shed and made peace by the blood of the cross. Their risen Saviour is in heaven now, seated at the right hand of the Father as their great high priest. He's entered into heaven itself with his own blood there to appear in the presence of God for them. So these poor sinners who feel the guilt of their sin and are utterly ashamed of themselves, they're brought to plead the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where can you and I look for our salvation but unto the risen Saviour? We know Christ died upon the cross, but he was delivered for our offences, and he rose again for our justification, and he is seated, crowned in honour and glory at the Father's right hand as the heavenly advocate, our great high priest, and he will bring every one of his dear people for whom he shed his precious blood home to glory. He's promised to do so. What he has said this is this: I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also. He has prepared that place. He's opened the way to heaven. by his sacrifice, by his blood shedding, by the atonement he has made, making peace and reconciliation between an offended God and guilty sinners. What a wonderful truth it is. All those that were given to him, ere time began, shall be with him in eternal glory. Now the truth of God sets this clearly forth. And if these truths are so sure, as indeed they are for the benefit of all those that God set his everlasting love upon. And as we hinted, those that the Lord set his everlasting love upon are his chosen people, who in time are made manifest as such because they're called by grace. And the Spirit of the Lord works in their hearts with almighty power. And they are brought under the law. They are brought to know themselves to be sinners. The Spirit of the Lord works in their hearts with authority. And how humbled they are. You know, however lofty our natural pride is, however much we thought we knew, whatever we may have thought of ourselves, when the Holy Spirit begins a work of grace in our hearts and shows us what we really are in the sight of a holy God, we're found in the dust, aren't we? We go with Job, we're found in the ditch. How filthy and wretched we are. What a great need you feel to be washed. What a great need you feel to be cleansed from your sins. You need that justifying righteousness. Now the Holy Spirit is the instructor. And he that convinces of sin is that same blessed operator, the third person in the Trinity, the dear Holy Spirit himself, will lead poor sinners to the cross. And there he will reveal to us what has been done for us. And this is what is spoken of here. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, the veil will be removed from our heart. Now, how many of us long to have clearer views, long to have a greater understanding of this way of salvation? We're not without hope. But my dear friends, it is our concern that we might not see only through a glass darkly. Now, what a mercy it is, the Lord is pleased to reveal himself through the gospel, because this is what is spoken of here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It is the proclamation of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ in the hearts of poor sinners that brings them to liberty. How we languish, some of us, in the prison. How we feel ourselves to be shut up in bondage, in captivity. Captivity to sin and bondage to the law. You know, we struggle and we strive, don't we, in ourselves, and how fruitless it is. All our efforts are in vain. But what a mercy it is when a poor struggling sinner, when a poor defiled undone character is enabled by the Holy Spirit to look away from yourself and to realise there is a Saviour in heaven. And to be brought to look to him as the only plea of your heart. The cry of your heart, if you are a poor sinner, will be this: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the sense of that need of mercy is so great. And as you have to wait upon the Lord continually for it, sometimes you'll be deeply tried as to whether that mercy can ever reach you. You'll be convinced of what the hymn writer said: no sinner needed mercy more that ever sought thy face. And you know this, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And sometimes you have a little hope raised up in your heart that that mercy will come to you. And yet it seems to ebb away. You don't seem to come to that place where you long to be brought to, to feel the liberty that the Lord has bought for his dear people. Now it is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to that place of total creature helplessness. To bring us to realise we are utterly undone and utterly unworthy. It is the instruction of the Holy Spirit to bring us there. Now what a mercy it is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. As the Holy Spirit teaches poor sinners, as I said, he enlightens them. And he makes them feel and know their lost condition and their ruined state. But he will give you to see how the Lord Jesus Christ has saved his people. He will give you to realise that he shed his precious blood to redeem them. You say, well, the word of truth is very clear about that. We know it very well. But do we? What do we really know of the virtue of that precious blood? We know it, we're defiled. I humbly trust we are brought to this, that nothing but the precious blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse my poor, guilty soul, my sin-stained heart. But it is the application of that precious blood that alone can do you any good. It is to be brought, to be washed from all your sin and your uncleanness. You know there'll be no liberty until you know your sins are forgiven, till you know that your peace is made. And this is the exercise of a poor sinner. This is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us as a poor, empty, bankrupt, helpless soul to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what blessed invitations there are. What truth there is set forth. The word of truth tells us this. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there's none else. And you will know that nothing less than almighty power can save you. You will be brought to realise that nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you. Nothing but an interest, a saving interest in his obedience and sacrifice can justify you. And so what dependence you have on him. And this is where we are brought. We're so tossed around in ourselves that we lose all that supposed knowledge and wisdom and understanding. But you see, in this refining process, in this searching of our hearts, we are brought to realise, as well, that truth I've already mentioned. There is salvation in none other. For there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we can be saved. And so under the teaching and leading of the Holy Spirit, we are brought to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the fleshly wise man will say, well, of course, that's a very elementary statement to make. And of course we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. But how can we except we have faith? And you will search your heart in all your exercises to see, do I have true faith? Now that faith is not fleshly faith. It is faith which is the gift of God. It is that faith which is implanted in the heart by the Holy Spirit when the work of grace is begun. And that faith will look alone to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mercy it is. The Holy Spirit enlivens our faith. And as the truth is made known to us, he enables us to receive it in our hearts and to embrace that truth and to understand the certainty of it. And he makes the truth to us known by the application of his own word to our souls. You see, it is not attained to by any study. It is by the Lord speaking into our hearts his gracious word. And he speaks to us concerning our salvation in very many ways, because the word of truth is varied and precious in its application in whatever way the Lord is pleased to make it known to us. He may speak to you and say, fear thou not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. He may speak to you in these words, testifying that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross for you and has made atonement for your sins. He will show you that he was delivered for your offences and raised again for your justification. He may speak to you concerning the peace that he's made for you on the cross. These various words, in their application, deliver from your guilt and from your sin. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And if the Lord speak these words in a similar vein to us, my dear friends, the effect of those in our hearts is to deliver us from our sin. It gives us to receive the truth. And that faith which is in your poor heart, the Holy Ghost enlivens. And he enables you to believe the testimony that is made to you. And believing it, you rest in it. You rest in the certainty of it. If the Lord has spoken to you and promised that he has left his peace to you, that he has made peace for you on the blood of the cross, not only does he bring that peace into your heart now, not only does he shed abroad his love in your soul now, not only does he wash all your sin away in his precious blood now, but he shows you that you have an inheritance. He shows you that you have an inheritance which is laid up for you, which is incorruptible, which is undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. He shows you that you'll enter into that eternal peace. Heaven at last is your portion. This is the inward work of the Blessed Spirit. You know, in our day, my dear friends, we sadly, and because of our sins and our unbelief, limit these things, and we feel very heavy because of it. But you see, the dear Holy Spirit is a spirit of power. And when he speaks into my heart and yours, all the hindrances we have, all the infirmities and the opposition that is found there is swept aside, and the word rests with authority upon our spirit. And what a sweet sense there is then of peace and pardon, of everlasting love and the boundless treasures of God's grace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So a poor soul is brought out of his captivity by the word of God being applied in their heart, and they're delivered into the liberty of the gospel. Now, we used to hear, didn't we, in days past, of souls being delivered. In my young days here, how many there were that could testify of the liberty of the gospel. And when we look within our own hearts, how very sad it is that we do not seem to have that same liberty. Because you see, if the Lord has proclaimed liberty in your heart, you'll have freedom of access at the throne of grace. You'll be brought to realize that the Lord hears and answers your prayers because you have an advocate with the Father. How stunted our prayers are. How sometimes we seem to feel that our prayers do not enter. These things cause us great anxiety. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This is what we beg for, isn't it? You see, as these things are set before us, as we are brought to realize that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty from the fear of the just deserts of your sin. Liberty from the fear of condemnation. What sweet liberty the Lord is pleased to proclaim in the hearts of his people. And these dear souls that are brought to know this liberty, they are brought to desire that the Lord would keep them. Does it concern you and me as to why we seem to be so imprisoned? Why we seem to be so held fast? There seems so little liberty. Well, it is because we grieve the Spirit. We only have to look into our own heart. We only have to examine our life, and we're brought to realize that there are many things which are displeasing to God. And you see, the flesh would say, well, I cannot do anything about that. but you, my dear friends, the Holy Spirit bringing us under a solemn realization of the confinement that we're in because of our sin. If he works in my heart and in yours, he'll bring you to seek a spirit of real repentance, and you'll be exercised that the Lord would grant you this gift. Jesus gives us true repentance by his Spirit sent from heaven. Jesus whispers this sweet sentence, "Son, thy sins are all forgiven." If you and I have known just one or two times when we've enjoyed this liberty in our heart, you will mourn your captivity. And what a mercy it is if there is an exercise in your soul and mine that the Lord would bring us into the liberty of the gospel, that he would make the gospel precious to our souls and captivate our heart's affection. Deliver us from the world within and the worldliness within our heart, and help us to seek more earnestly after those things which are above. Now the Spirit, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So where there is a concern, where there is a real exercise in your soul, there'll be a seeking after a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ, a clearer views of the dear Saviour, another manifestation of his love to your soul, another application of that precious blood to your poor sin-stained heart, another view of your standing in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord does give us to know. He does give us to know where we are. From time to time he is pleased to give us to view in him our salvation. And you know, the word of truth speaks about the confidence of faith. What about my confidence? What about your confidence? Do we have that true faith? It isn't a fleshly confidence that is referred to. It's because in looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, we see in him all that our soul needs, and we're sweetly persuaded that that fullness abides for us, that all that he is and all that he ever will be, we shall know and be a partaker of. You see, this is the confidence. When faith is in active exercise, when there is liberty in our hearts, we should be brought to certainties. And that is what troubles us, isn't it? Certainties. Do you find your poor heart from time to time wavering to and fro? Hymn writer said, "See how I waver to and fro, rising high and sinking low." And some of us seem to sink low and stay there. But what a mercy it is, the Lord still is gracious. What we need is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty to call upon his great and holy name. Grace to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mercy it is that the Holy Spirit does stir us up, does exercise our souls. And how we seem to languish, waiting for the Lord to appear. But the truth does not alter. God's faithfulness is constant. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So prisoners of hope, to Jesus turn. He's a stronghold ordained for you. What a mercy it is there is this stronghold. Gird up your loins and cease to mourn, and to the Lamb your way pursue. You say, "I would come if I could." What a beautiful thing it is. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You say, "What me? Such a poor rebel, such a wretched sinner, so loaded with guilt, I'm utterly ashamed of myself. How dare I come?" Well, how can I come, some soul may say. I'm lame and cannot walk. My guilt and sin has shut my mouth, I sigh but dare not talk. But what a mercy it is. The Lord is gracious. And as you feel the guilt of your sin and the wretchedness of your condition, do you not find there is a looking to the Lord Jesus? It seems contrary to natural judgment, doesn't it? but your heart is up to him, and you believe that he's able to save unto the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. My dear friends, what is it a poor sinner is enabled to plead? The blood and righteousness and love of Jesus we will plead. He sits within the veil above for us to intercede. What a sure ground it is to come upon. That precious blood has made full atonement. That righteousness of Christ justifies poor sinners. And the Father looks upon his beloved Son, what he's done for these characters that are so wretched and so sinful, and because of what has been accomplished for them, he pardons and forgives. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, that retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy? And that mercy, when it comes to such a character as we often feel ourselves to be, is such sweet mercy, isn't it? And you'll be brought to realise what the hymn writer said: thy mercy in Jesus exempts me from hell. Its wonders I'll sing, and its glories I'll tell. 'Twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, that opened the channel of mercy for me. You know, the truth, my dear friends, is so sweet and so precious, and it's wounded souls and not whole sinners that value the Lord Jesus Christ. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. This is why we're brought to the places we're brought to: utter desolation in self, helplessness in self, loaded with guilt and sin, but looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is salvation. May the word that was recorded by Isaiah echo in our hearts. The Lord has said this: look unto me, and be ye saved. One interpretation is this: look unto me, and ye shall be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. What a gracious God he is, what a merciful God. And we should be brought to know, under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, that he provided for such vile sinners as we are a way of salvation, whereby he justly delivers from our sins and saves from hell, and at last will gather each one safely home to bliss. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, may we know the infusion of the Holy Spirit to instruct us, to lead us and to teach us, and to bring us to realise the fulfilment of this beautiful word: where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.